95.7 Ben FM Philadelphia presents Her Story, hosted by Kathy Romano. Her Story is a weekly tribute to women making a major difference in the lives of others by telling her story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. May is National Foster Care Month. Bethany Christian Services is a global nonprofit organization that brings families together and keeps families together. Their services include sponsorship, foster care, family support, and adoption, among others. Family is the best place for children to grow, and the services they provide have been designed to allow children to stay in their home country with a local family whenever possible. Today's guest is the executive director of Bethany Christian Services, Heather Burt. Heather, welcome to Her Story.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for having me today.
Heather, tell me exactly what Bethany is and what you do to help children and families.
Bethany really has a heart for children, and we believe that kids thrive in families. And so what we do is we work hard to find the right fit families for our children.
And you've been with the organization now for 26 years?
It will be 26 years on June 1st.
Tell me a little bit about how you got through the organization, because you started in one area, you moved to another, and now you're the executive director.
Right. And if you had asked me that 26 years ago, I would have laughed at you, Kathy. I would have never thought that would be the case. So I started out, literally graduated from college, and 3 days later started as the pregnancy counselor at Bethany, which is a role where we come alongside moms and dads who are facing an unintended pregnancy. And really, our goal is just to help them figure out what the right decision is for them as they're trying to figure that out. And so I started out as a pregnancy counselor, and I did that until I had my firstborn in 1999. And then I came back and I worked with some private foster families, and then I had another kid. And then I came back and I did some adoption work, and then I had another kid. I came back and was the adoptions director. And then I just, you know, things kind of progressed. And about 5 years ago, I became the executive director. And it's been a ride, Kathy. It's really been a journey. And I have some incredible staff that help me do the work that we do.
So what are you doing as the executive director?
Gosh, it's a big job. But again, I couldn't do it without my incredible staff. So I do a lot of the administrative work. I do fundraising. I work with our board. I lead our staff. I supervise staff. I work in the community to kind of raise awareness about the work that we're doing. I make sure that we are holding to our values, which are integrity, impact, and innovation. We're really trying to raise awareness about the work we're doing, because believe it or not, we're still the best kept secret out there.
Now, are the children and families referred to you, or can somebody just look you up on the internet and come use some of your resources?
All of the above. It really is. It's our way of saying, hey, if you're in a situation, we want to be here to help you. We know that people hit crisis times, and really Bethany is just in the community to say, we're here. We want to come alongside you. We want to help you figure out what the right situation is for you.
Talk a little bit about the work that you do. So you mentioned the pregnancy counseling, different programs like that.
So again, pregnancy counseling has come alongside those that are facing unintended pregnancies. We offer safe families for children, which is, so if a family is in crisis, and say, like, if I was in crisis, my sister would come help me with my kids, or my parents would help me with my kids. But some people in the community don't have that. So a mom needs to go have a baby, and she has no place for her other kids to go. So those kids might end up in foster care. Safe families are host families that will volunteer to take those kids. Bethany oversees it from a social work perspective, and the kids are in a host family. Mom can go have her baby. And then when she comes out, those kids and that mom come back together, and those kids don't end up in foster care. So it's a way to deflect kids out of foster care. So it's a ministry of the church that's overseen by Bethany. So it's a great program that works with the community.
Are you ever court appointed?
No, it's not court appointed. So it's a program that is really kind of host families through the church, and it has a 93% rate of kids going back to their parents, which is really incredible. It's all voluntary. So mom or dad signs the kids into care. Mom or dad signs the kids out of care. So it's a voluntary program. So that's our Safe Families for Children ministry. Post-adoption services. Pennsylvania is one of the few states that provides free post-adoption services for any child under the age of 18. And it can be kids who have permanent legal guardians. It can be kids who are like within kinship. So if a family member is doing it, it can be for any family. So it doesn't have to be a Bethany family. It can be any family in Pennsylvania. And it's free for 6 months. It can do things like if you need respite care, if you want your kid to go to summer camp, if you want your kids to take dance lessons. So it's a great service that the state of Pennsylvania provides. So we serve a number of families through a post-adoption program.
If a family is involved with Bethany, they can adopt through the organization?
Absolutely.
Do you serve the entire Delaware Valley?
We do. So we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, we serve the whole state of Delaware, and then we serve South New Jersey as well.
I was a foster parent through Bucks County Children and Youth. Is your foster program a little bit different?
So we have some kids from Bucks County that we work with. So we work with the different counties in Pennsylvania. And we also work with the city of Philadelphia, which is important because there's nearly 6,000 kids in foster care in the city of Philadelphia. And you mentioned that May is National Foster Care Awareness Month. And we want to do that because we want to celebrate all the folks who are foster parents like yourself. And it's important because we couldn't do this work without the amazing foster parents. It's people like you, Kathy, and I get emotional because you step up and you stand in the gap for these kids. And
Yeah,
we need more families. But it's also important because we need to recruit more families. These kids need stable, loving homes until we can figure out what the next step is, whether they go on to become, you know, whether you go on and to adopt these kids or whether they go back home to, you know, reunify with their families, which is really important.
You guys are not court appointed, but you do work with the other organizations?
We do. Yep. So we have contracts with the counties to provide foster care. So if they needed a foster home or a resource home, they would call us and say, hey, do you have a home for a 10-year-old child? And we said, we do. And then in the counties, we work with the kids as well as the resource families. In the city, we work with the CUAs and DHS, obviously.
Okay.
So we're not a court appointed. We don't have custody of the child.
Got it.
But we do the work with the kids and the families.
Okay, I'm understanding now. Can people volunteer at Bethany?
Absolutely. We need lots of volunteers. So, for instance, we have our annual walk run coming up on June 1st in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, as well as Fort Washington State Park. So we need a ton of volunteers to help us make that event work. We have volunteers that come into the office that will do paperwork with us. We have volunteers that will just help us work around the office if we need things donated and we need things sorted. You know, there's lots of different ways for people to volunteer. We have mentors that people can volunteer with kids if they want to volunteer with our kids. Different places will have baby showers for us and organize those kind of things because we need items to give to our kids. So there's many different ways that people can volunteer with Bethany.
Okay. And where are you located?
So our main office is in Jenkintown, PA. We're also in Delaware, and we're in New Jersey as well.
Okay, so you have the fundraiser coming up, which is the walk and 5K run. Is that two separate locations?
It's two separate locations. So it's in Laurel Lakes, and then it's in Fort Washington State Park. And it's a great event. I love it because we get to see all of the families come together and watch the kids. It's funny for me because some of those kids were babies when I first worked with them. And now they're like, some of them are married and have babies of their own.
Oh my gosh,
so
wow.
It's hilarious for me to see them. There's a fun run for kids. There's face painting. There's pretzels. There's cotton candy. It's just a great event. And it's an actual chipped 5K. So for people who like to run, they can come out and actually have fun running and then know that they're supporting this incredible organization. It's just a great day to be together and see families together. So
you're looking for volunteers for the event, but you're also looking for runners. Can people go to your website for more information and to sign up?
They can go to our website. It's www.bethany.org/Philadelphia/events. We're also looking if people wanted to do teams. They could sign up teams. And then what you do is you get peer-to-peer fundraising. And that's a great way to get your community involved as well to help support Bethany.
And if somebody needs your services, they want some information, I would imagine they could also go to the website and find out how they can get involved.
Absolutely. Just bethany.org/Philadelphia. And okay. We would love to help you out.
Talk a little bit about your refugee program.
Sure. So we have our unaccompanied refugee minor program, Kathy, and that's our kids that are coming from the refugee camps. And they're typically teenagers that are older, that have many of them have been in the refugee camps, and they come over here and we have foster care for them. And so they're able to be in these foster homes that can love them and care for them until they can go into what's called semi-independent living. You know, the idea is that they can grow to be adults and understand what it means to live in the United States. And so the challenge is they come over here and typically they don't know any English and they don't really know what it means to live in the United States. And the cool thing is, you know, typically in 2 or 3 years, they're graduating from high school and many of them are going on to college. I think this year we have something like 18 high school graduates and they're, you know, they're heading on and some, you know, want to go on and become doctors or teachers and those kind of things. So it's a great program to help these kids come to the United States and assimilate and learn what it means to be a U.S. citizen and be loved and cared for and provided with stability.
Are you helping them come to the United States, or are you helping them once they get here?
We're helping them once they get here.
So who gets them over here?
So it's the Lutheran Immigration Services, and it's all through the Office of Refugee Resettlement, so
okay.
ORR. So it's a federal program. And so they identify the kids, and then they kind of, you know, spread them throughout the United States. So
okay.
This is one of the few programs that does this. And right now we have about 72 kids that are in that program.
Well, you guys are certainly doing some amazing things. Heather, thank you so much for coming by. It was great to meet you.
Thank you, Kathy, for having me. It's great to meet you.
Bethany's walk and 5K run is Saturday, June 1st. Two locations, Fort Washington State Park in Pennsylvania and Laurel Acres Park in New Jersey. For more information about the walk run or Bethany Christian Services, you can go to bethany.org.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
May is Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month, and one of my favorite guests is back to talk to us about it. Emily Kramer Galinkoff suffers from cystic fibrosis and founded the nonprofit Emily's Entourage to help raise funds for research. She was diagnosed at 6 weeks old and now, at the age of 34, fights through the struggles of having the progressive genetic disease. What I love most about Emily is her outlook on life, her sweet, vibrant personality, and her passion, determination, and motivation to live. Emily, thank you so much for coming back. It's great to see you.
Thank you for having me.
For those who are not familiar with cystic fibrosis, can you give a brief overview of the disease?
So cystic fibrosis is a progressive, fatal genetic disease that primarily affects the lungs, but actually it's a disease that affects the whole body. So the gastrointestinal system, it causes arthritis, it causes a whole array of different diseases, truly. It's the disease that keeps giving.
What I found interesting that you can't be in the same room as someone else with cystic fibrosis. Why is that?
So one of the really sad realities of CF is that the only other people in the world who live and breathe with the same disease that I do pose the greatest threat to my health. We have bacteria that colonize in our lungs, these chronic lung infections that are not contagious to the average person, but are only contagious to other people with CF. And they are highly linked with increased, you know, mortality. And it is really dangerous for people with CF to be near each other.
Which is sad, because when people have diseases and go through things in their life, they lean on other people. They go to support groups with people who are suffering from the same disease or going through a similar situation. And in your case, you can't do that.
It's a strange reality, truly. You know, I feel really grateful to live in a time when, you know, we can connect online. It's no substitute for in-person connections. But, you know, I have these incredibly deep and meaningful friendships with people all around the world, people who I know deep, intimate truths, you know, about their disease and about their outlook on life and their, you know, end of life wishes. But I've never seen them in person. I've never been able to give them a hug. You know, I don't know what their voice sounds like, you know, funny things like that. We do the best we can with what we've got.
So last we spoke, you were extremely vigilant with your extensive daily treatment schedule. Are you still doing this medical treatment? I know you were doing them like 3 to 4 hours a
yeah.
day.
I spend a good portion of my day trying to help manage my health. Unfortunately, with CF, you know, as you get older and you get sicker, your disease progresses and requires only more treatment as time goes on. But for me, you know, I have big eyes and a lot of things I want to do in the world. And doing my treatments and trying to delay the progression of my disease as much as I can is, you know, gives me the best shot at being able to do it.
So you're still doing this. You're
oh,
still
yeah.
doing all of this treatment. Just talk a little bit about
yes.
your treatment.
Sure. So I spend about 3 to 4 hours a day doing medical treatments. I inhale all sorts of different medications and antibiotics through a nebulizer, you know, aerosolized treatments. And then I also do what's called a therapy vest, which is literally a vest that inflates and shakes me to help move and dislodge the mucus that builds up in my lungs and in my airways. And in addition to that, you know, I spend tons of time sterilizing all the equipment every time. And also physical activity is really important with cystic fibrosis. So I make sure to get my 10,000 steps every day and try to remain physically active to get things moving in my lungs.
Is that vest painful?
No, I think for someone who had never done it before, it might be a strange sensation and maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but it's definitely not painful. For some people, it's like itchy or, and it's just, it's a weird sensation. But, you know, I do it 3 times a day, every day. I haven't, you know, missed a session in decades. So for me, it's like, it's second nature.
Where are they with research for cystic fibrosis?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I'm pleased to share that there are incredibly exciting breakthroughs that have either already come out or are soon to be coming out for about 90% of the CF population. And these aren't just like incremental, little improvements. These are like game-changing breakthroughs that are really giving people hope for long lives. You know, people are starting to look into, you know, life insurance policies, which is something they never even thought about before. But I happen to have a rare form that's caused by a nonsense mutation. And people like me, unfortunately, fall in the 10% of the population that still has no breakthroughs and nothing imminently on the horizon.
Why? What is that? What is it that you have that makes it so different from everyone else?
You know, I think a big part of it is that the form of CF that I have, which is caused by a nonsense mutation, at the genetic level, it's just a harder problem to fix. So I think, you know, one part of it is just that the science is challenging. The other part is that 90% of the CF community shares one mutation. So it's this one mutation that is by far the most prevalent. And so understandably, you know, researchers and the scientific community and biopharmaceutical community were very focused on trying to solve the problem for the vast majority of people with CF. And unfortunately, those of us with nonsense mutations and some other rare mutations just sort of fell behind. And as much as that makes sense intellectually, when you're part of the group, you know, when you see your friends getting these life-saving breakthroughs and you're part of the group that is just waiting while your disease continues to progress, it's a tough place to be because, you know, you're really happy for your friends, of course, but you're just envious and you want it too.
You talk about anybody in the world who's envious of something or, you know, somebody who has a bigger house or a nicer car. But when you put it into perspective and you look at somebody like you, who it will be life-saving when they have that, it's much different. And the people who are jealous about a bigger house or whatever it is, I mean, really, they should look at your story because that's nothing to worry about.
You know, this is really, it's a matter of life and death for the 10% of us who still have no breakthroughs. You know, we're still fighting the same killer disease that this always was. And on top of that, you know, what happens is in a disease community, when you have huge breakthroughs for the vast majority, there's this perception that the job is done. And it's a really dangerous perception because it dismantles momentum and funding and pharmaceutical interest. And so Emily's Entourage started and is singularly focused on trying to accelerate breakthroughs for that outlying 10% that is really waiting with bated breath.
You founded Emily's Entourage. And where is the organization now? Where are you with fundraising?
I founded Emily's Entourage with my family and close friends at the end of 2011. We saw that there were these incredible breakthroughs coming and realized that there was nothing in queue for people with nonsense mutations. And so we recognized that there was this desperate need. At the same time, you know, I have really advanced stage disease. I have about 31% lung function. And there are a lot of other people that are in the same place as me. And we realized that we literally did not have time. The pace of our disease was going faster than the pace of research. So since 2011, we have really come a very astonishingly far way. We've raised $5.6 million. We have awarded, I think it's over $3.8 million so far, to different research projects all around the world. So we have funded 16 different research projects. We spun out a CF gene therapy company that just a couple months ago received an additional $4.5 million in funding.
But is any of this helping you?
Well, so, you know, the way drug development is a long and complicated process. So what I find incredibly hopeful is when we started this, not only were there no breakthroughs for people like me, but there was nothing in the pipeline. There was like a broken infrastructure that wasn't capable of developing the kind of breakthroughs that we needed. And now there are a number of different therapies that are in the pipeline. And most importantly, there's an infrastructure that is capable of pumping out breakthroughs in the future. And so while we're not quite there yet, we're on the path. And that's actually like significantly more hopeful than it ever was before when there wasn't even a path to success.
See what I'm talking about? Her outlook on life. You're just amazing. So we were talking off the air. You went to Hawaii a few years ago and you said while you were there on the beach, you actually felt a little bit different because of the salt water or the salt in the air.
Yeah. So one of my favorite CF stories is that years ago, they found that people with CF who lived in Australia and were surfers were doing much better, were much healthier than the average person with CF. And they came to find that it was because they were spending all this time surfing on salt water. And the salt water, when they breathed it in, it hydrated their airways and actually helped with their disease. As a result, every day, one of my nebulizers, three times a day, is inhaling salt water. And a natural remedy for it is just literally spending time on the beach. So the salty air and the salt water is incredibly therapeutic for everyone, especially people with CF. And so, you know, not only good for the mind and for the soul, but literally for my lungs too.
Yeah. And you were in Hawaii because you were there for a Make-A-Wish Foundation, not for you, but for your sister.
That's right. You know, while I have cystic fibrosis, I also have a sister who has a lot of medical issues, not CF. And so she had the great fortune of being granted a Make-A-Wish. The Make-A-Wish Foundation is an amazing organization that recognizes that, you know, these diseases and conditions don't just affect an individual, but they affect the whole family. And so our family had the huge privilege of going to Hawaii, and my sister got to surf.
She can't walk, she can't talk, let alone surf, but they were able to get her on a surfboard and take her out into the ocean.
That's right. We worked with an amazing group called Access Surf. Nothing would stop them. So they're this, you know, they are professional surfers, and they got to know Annie. They, you know, learned of all the different constraints, and they created really creative workarounds to make it work. And so she sat on someone's lap and they took her out to like catch the waves. I don't know all the official surf terms.
That's it, catch the wave.
That's right. And she had the time of her life. And I think it was probably the happiest moment of all of our lives, just seeing her that happy. I remember the next day she had like sores on her body because it's very hard for her to sit in one position for a long time. But she was so happy that she couldn't even, complain. Yeah. And so she like suffered the consequences of it the next day. But it was a really, really happy moment for all of us.
And you're one of four. So Annie is actually a twin.
She's number four.
Okay. So she has a twin sister.
She does.
And then you have a brother.
That's right.
And your brother is taking part in the Philly Marathon, and he's going to push your sister Annie in her wheelchair in the marathon.
That's right. So for the, I think this is the fourth year that they're doing this. Annie, my sister, she is our honorary president of Emily's Entourage, and she takes her job really seriously, and she takes great pride in being able to run roll the half marathon with my brother and contribute to Emily's Entourage in a way that is really meaningful.
So in the Philly Marathon and the half marathon, there's actually an Emily's Entourage team that you're looking for runners.
That's right. Yeah. So we have a huge team that participates every year. They raise money and they run on Team EE, as we call it, and it guarantees them a spot in the Philly Marathon. And it's one of our favorite days of the whole year because there's just this incredible spirit and feeling of camaraderie. And, you know, for us, running is such a powerful thing. You know, it's something I can't really do that well. And this idea of like crossing the finish line and doing it all together just really carries a lot of meaning. So we would be honored to have additional members on Team EE in the Philly Marathon.
If people are interested, how do they get more information?
Yeah, you can come to our website. It's emiliesentourage.org. And there's a contact us button, and you can shoot us an email. You could reach out to us on social media, really reach out in any way. And we would be thrilled to bring you on.
I know your disease is progressing. We talked just a few weeks ago. I checked in with you, wanted to see how you were doing. I got an email that it was Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month. So, of course, I immediately thought of you, wanted to check in. You said you were sick at the time or didn't feel well at the time. How are you now? How is your health?
Life with CF is kind of a constant roller coaster. The way that the disease presents is, you know, you have these chronic lung infections. And so you're kind of always ebbing and flowing and trying to manage it with antibiotics, but you become resistant to antibiotics. So it's just very complicated. You know, I'm happy that today I'm feeling good. Like I said, the treatments and all, you know, the work that I do, you know, personally on a daily basis, but and even more broadly, the work that we do, you know, with Emily's Entourage, our goal is to get people living better, having more great days and fewer bad days, and being able to contribute in all the amazing change-making ways that they're needed to in this world.
Emily's Entourage's biggest event is your gala that takes place in December. We know it's a little bit early, but we're still putting the date out there so people can go. It's December 7th.
December 7th. It's an amazing gala. Of course, I'm a little biased, but we like to say it's not your average gala. it's a community coming together and really sort of flexing our muscles and realizing that change is only made when we come together and really commit our hearts and our souls to changing the things that aren't right in the world. And so there's like a magic and a can-do spirit, and everyone is fighting for the same thing. And it's just, it's a powerful rallying call, really.
And last year you raised $640,000 at the event.
That's right.
So we want to get above that number.
That's right.
Perfect. Emily, thank you so much for coming by. I appreciate it. It was good to see you.
So good to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
For more information about Emily's Entourage, all of the events they have, all the fundraising that they do, you can go to emilysentourage.org. If you missed any part of today's show, the first part, we were talking about Foster Care Awareness Month, and then Emily stopped in to talk about Cystic Fibrosis Month. You can go to 957benfm.com, click on the Her Story link, and a podcast to this week's show and all of the shows that we do every Sunday will be up right on the website there for you to listen to. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your weekend.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.